Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God, our Father in heaven. So I thank you once again for calling in this Saturday morning, another great day that the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I'd like to give special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. And they have a broadcast that comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their broadcast is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can call the same number that you called in to this program, 917-388-4161. And they're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International, where the senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. The lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones, and the youth pastor is Pastor Zachary Osler. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. And you can catch them on YouTube and also on Facebook. So I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
It will not be
him, and we should. He said that he would never withhold any good. It's all for the Lord. We would walk, walk upright, and live every day in His sight. Well, He said,
hallelujah. You can call Him when you need a friend. Bible said He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Call Him up. Thinking about a song that most of us grew up on called Call Him Up. Call Him up. Call on the name of Jesus, amen. There's power in His name. Healing is in His name. Deliverance is in His name. Salvation is in His name. Hallelujah. I want to share this morning, my family is celebrating the homegoing of a dear loved one. So just keep us in prayer, amen. Keep the Wooderton prayer. Give us strength, Father. Comfort us, Lord, for your glory. Well, thank you once again for calling in. We're gonna go into the Word, amen. Coming out of the book of Psalms, Psalms, the 37th chapter, we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. Psalm 37, chapter, verses 3 through 5. And then we're going to turn to 1 John. That's 1 John, not St. John, 1 John, the 5th chapter, reading verses 13 through 15. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now let's turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 15. And it reads, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," somebody say anything, "according to his will," that's the key, "anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask," somebody say whatsoever, hallelujah, "we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him," that we desired of him. The title for the message this morning is Divine Desires. Divine Desires. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for watching over us as we lay down, rest before you throughout the night. Thank you, Father, for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, to protect us. Keep us in their care, Father. Thank you that no harm or danger came near us because your angels were standing guard. And Father, thank you for waking us up this morning to see another glorious day that you have made. Thank you for giving us new mercies, Father. All-sufficient grace, God, to face and to get through whatever the challenges that comes with this day. Thank you for victory, Father. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you sent to be the example, to live a sinless life, to take the sins of the world to the cross, Father, to conquer death and to defeat sin, destroy the grave. Thank you, Father, for allowing him to experience what being in hell is all about. Therefore, we don't have to go And it's a decision, a personal decision. And if we make the right decision, we won't go, but we will experience eternity with you in heaven. Thank you for raising Jesus from the grave, God, for giving him all power. And now that he's seated on your right hand, interceding for us, we thank you and we praise you just for who you are, God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, God. Holy, righteous, worthy, marvelous, awesome, glorious, wonderful, magnificent, excellent in all your ways, God. Now, Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your presence to receive what you will have to say to us, to give us instructions, directions, strategies to go out into this world and do what you called us to do, to seek and save that which is lost. We thank you and we praise you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Divine desires. Anybody ever had some desires in your life? Hallelujah. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. The word desire. What is desire? It's a conscious impulse towards something that promises enjoyment or satisfaction in its attainment. A conscious impulse towards something that promises enjoyment or satisfaction in its attainment. Desire is a longing or a craving, something to hoard. It's a usually formal request or petition for some action. That's what the word desire means. A desire stresses the strength of feeling and often implies strong intention or aim. So, what's your desires this morning? What are you longing for? What are you craving for? What are you hoping for? What's your request or your petition driving you towards something that's promising enjoyment or satisfaction? Divine desires. Let's go to Proverbs, the 18th chapter. We're going to read verse 1. Proverbs 18 and 1. And I'm going to read it in different translations. It's only one verse. The King James Version reads, "Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." Through desire, a man, having separated himself, that's key, separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. With all wisdom. Sounds like somebody who has itching ears. The New American Standard Bible, it reads, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." He who separates himself seeks his own desire. And he quarrels against all sound wisdom. The Amplified Bible reads, "He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man." That sounds like isolation. He who willfully separates and estranges himself from God and man seeks his own desire and pretext to break out against all wise and sound judgment. Now we're going to read the New Living Translation. And it reads, "Unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. They lash out at common sense." I like to say sense ain't common. So this right here shows that everybody doesn't have it. Because he's lashing out at common sense. The New King James Version reads, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." You ever been around somebody that all seems like all they want to do is just argue? Got to get their whole point across. We were kids, the older generation used to say, "Can't tell them nothing. Too smart for his own self." And this is the last one, the Message translation. "Loners who care only for themselves spit on the common good." Spit. That's one of the most disrespectful things that somebody can do to a person. Spit on them. So that's what this is saying, that this person is disrespectful. So let's go back to the King James Version. "Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." And that's a choice that that person is making. To be wise in his own eyes. But Romans said that person will eventually become a fool. So let's read verse 2. Proverbs 18, chapter verse 2. And it reads, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. And the Amplified Bible reads, "A self-confident fool has no delight in understanding, but only in revealing his personal opinions and himself." That's what a fool is. Divine desires. I want to read verse 2. In the Message translation. And it reads, fools care nothing about for discourse. All they do is run off at the mouth. Anybody heard that before? Just run it off at the mouth. Speaking of running off at the mouth, let's turn to Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. We're going to do a little bit of reading in this particular chapter. Speaking about divine desires. We're going to start at verse 1. Genesis 3rd chapter, verse 1. And it reads, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yes, hath God said, asking a question, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? So he's asking her, did God really say that you can't eat of every tree of the garden? Understand that Satan, he's a trickster. He's a deceiver. And his intentions are never good. Never. His intentions is to cause confusion, chaos. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So wherever we see confusion, wherever we see chaos, that's a sign that God is not in it. Amen. Verse 2. And it says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, these are her words, but she's saying God said it. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Yes, God said not to eat it, but he didn't say don't touch it. She added those words. She put those words in there herself. But the serpent, he didn't touch on that. In verse 4, he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He didn't say to her, no, God didn't say you can't touch it. But he said, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. But what God said, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Those were his words. So verse 5 again. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So I got a question. Why would he say good and evil? See, God is not entangled with evil. God is good. Period, exclamation point. God is good. Satan is evil. So why would God, who is good, want you to know evil? That's how cunning, that's how slick Satan is. He tried to play people with words. He'll throw some godly words in there, but he also adds his words, because if someone hears the word of God, automatically they want to agree with it. But you have to hear all of it. First of all, you must know it. And see, God told Adam exactly what to do and what not to do. So he already knew. And I mentioned Adam because we're going to get into it in a minute. Verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Let's stop there. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It never said that it wasn't good for food. What God said, don't eat of it. I've given you every other tree in this garden. And being in the Garden of Eden, there wasn't one tree that didn't have good fruit, because it says that everything that God made was good. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, but here's the key, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Desire to make one wise. That goes along with what we read in Proverbs, where it said somebody willfully separates themselves and seeks to make themselves wise. Not seeking the wisdom of God, because they had everything that they needed, all the wisdom that they needed. So why would she desire to be wise? When you leave the presence of God, you seek other types of wisdom. When you leave the presence of God, you seek other types of wisdom. And the number one type that messes so many people up is that they seek their own wisdom. Proverbs 3 says, in all thy ways, acknowledge God, and he will give you the direction. He will give you instructions. He will give you strategies. He will give you wisdom. Be not wise in thine own eyes, because when you do that, then you end up, as the word says, being a fool, doing foolish things. And a lot of times when someone does something foolish, response is, that made no sense. That decision made no sense, because it was done without sense, because that person who isolates themselves and seek to be wise in their own eyes . They look down on common sense. They fight it. They argue with it. So this, what's going on is Eve is running off at the mouth. Said, for God know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. So that right there is what got her attention. You mean I can be smarter than what I am? And then he introduced evil. See, evil was not in the world, but he introduced it alone with the word of God. So we have to be careful when we're listening to the word of God. Who's speaking it? What are the intentions? What's the agenda? What's the purpose behind it? divine desires. Let's continue. So after all of that, that whole conversation, and Eve eating that fruit from the tree that God said not to eat from, the last part of verse 6, it says, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. So here's Adam standing right there, right next to Eve, during this whole conversation. And he know what God said. But he stood there and listened to that conversation, not saying a word. So after she ate that fruit, she gave it to him. And right then and there, he was in a position to make another decision, because the first position that they shouldn't have been there in the first place. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. If God told you not to eat from that tree, why are you there? Number two, while she's having that conversation with Satan, he didn't speak up. He didn't say, no, 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 that's not true. This is what God said. And now he's in a position to make the decision to eat that fruit. He could have dropped it. But no, it says that he also ate it. And verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So this is what being wise in your own eyes will make you look. It will make you look foolish. Because it says that they sewed fig leaves and made themselves aprons. And the reason why they did that is because they were trying to hide from God. How can you hide from God? Like, I did this, but I'm going to cover it up so God can't see me. Divine desires. Verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So because they have on fig leaves wrapped around them, they're going to try to fit in with the other trees and bushes. Here come God, so we gonna hide. We gonna stand next to the bushes so he can't see us. Because we look like the trees Foolishness. Foolishness. So I wanted to point that out so that we can understand how one selfish decision affected the whole entire creation, because everything that God created started to deteriorate after that one selfish decision, and to lose its quality and value of being good. So because of one selfish, foolish, ungodly decision, it affected everything that they were connected to. So that's one thing we have to consider when we're making decisions. Can't be selfish. We have to ask ourselves, how is it going to affect those who are connected to us? Now let's go back to Psalm 37 chapter. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37 and 4. And it reads, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So I wanted to establish that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now let's go to St. Mark, the 11th chapter, and verse 24. St. Mark 11 and 24. And it reads, therefore I say to you, this is Jesus, says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So desires are for prayers. I want to say it again. Desires are for prayers. Because any desire outside of a prayer is an ungodly decision. So we have to take our desires that God has given us, because it says in Psalm 37 and 4, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. So that's where we get our desires from, being in the presence of the Lord. When we go to him, he will give us the desires of our heart. And then St. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, the desires that God has given you by being in his presence, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Desires offer prayers. So let's look at the word divine. Divine. Divine is of, relating to, or proceeding directly from God. That's what divine means. Of, relating to, or proceeding directly from God. Divine means supremely good, superb, heavenly, or godlike. That's what divine means. So that's where the title Divine Desires came from. Desires that proceed directly from God. Desires that are supremely good. Desires that are heavenly, godlike. Godlike desires. Heavenly desires. Now let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, first chapter. Starting at verse 22. Divine desires. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, and it reads, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. So the flesh compared to grass, it says, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So that's what we need. That's what our souls need. The word of God. So let's continue to Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So just as a baby cries out for that bottle, or cries out for that milk that comes from its mother, that's how we should desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So just like the nutrients that the baby needs from that milk that comes from his mother's breast, we need the word of God that comes from his presence. That's where our divine desires come from. And so when we take our divine desires into the presence of the Lord and present them back to him, because that's where they came from, and we know that he hears us, when we present them back to him, said he will give us the desires of our hearts, that we will have the desires that we pray for. Divine desires. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation, God. Thank you for understanding. Now, Father, as we take this word to apply to our lives, help us to cry out for your wisdom. Help us to run into your presence, God, so that we can get the divine diet, the divine desires for our lives that you have for us. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for calling in to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. Love you. Bless you. Talk to you next week.